Well, welcome back, fellow biblical explorers. In our last study together, we looked at the petition of Paul's prayer. We started to discover what Paul was actually praying for. We looked at the four P's of the petition of Paul's prayer. Remember that alliteration? We found out power in verse 16 of chapter 3, presence in verse 17, perception and plentitude. We discussed the inner man, his attributes of seeing, hearing, tasting, and feeling. And we discovered that the inner man must be exercised, cleansed, and fed. Well, the first petition of Paul, that we may experience power, leads right into the next request, depth or presence, and that's found in chapter 3, verse 17. The depth and presence of the riches of his grace. Well, let's look for a moment at that 17th verse of Ephesians chapter 3, and here we find Paul's petition of presence. Verse 17 says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." Here, Paul is praying that these people would be empowered by the Spirit, so that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. Now, this seems unusual for Paul to say this. Paul knew very well that these people had Christ already dwelling in their hearts through faith, but why would Paul call these people saints when he was addressing the letter to them if this were not true? Here, Paul is praying with a deep conviction upon his heart, and we see in looking for a moment at his words what Paul is really meaning. We look at the words that Paul uses here, words like dwell, rooted, and established. David Guzik goes on to say, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Paul asks that Jesus would live in these believers, even as Jesus promised in John 14:23. There it says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." It goes on to say, there are two ancient Greek words convey that idea to live in. One has the idea of living in a place as a stranger, and the other has the idea of settling down in a place to make it your permanent home. Well, to dwell uses the ancient Greek word for a permanent home. Jesus wants to settle down in your heart, not just visit as a stranger. Chuck Smith gives us some further insight. He says that you being rooted and grounded in love, that our roots go down deep in the love of Jesus Christ. It is through the roots that the tree draws its source for life. Moisture and nourishment are drawn from the soil by the roots, nourished in the love of Jesus. The roots anchor the plant to the ground, otherwise the tree would never stand. The plant would just blow away. We draw from the love of Jesus our life-sustaining power and our stability. The Greek word for grounded is themeliato, which gives us the idea to lay the foundation, to make stable, to establish. So we look back at the words that Paul is using here, words like dwell, rooted, and established. Dr. Kenneth Wirst says that the word dwell really means to settle down and to feel at home. Paul wants his readers to settle down and to feel at home in the presence of Jesus. I love that Bill Gaither song. It just says just that, feeling at home in the presence of Jesus. What Paul is praying for is a deeper experience for the believers at Ephesus. He is praying for a deeper relationship between Christ and his followers. And as Warren Wiersbe puts it, he yearns for Christ to settle down and feel at home in their hearts, not just a surface relationship, but an ever-deepening fellowship. Now, the word rooted, this word brings to mind the world of the plant. The tree must have its roots deep and firm in the soil if it's going to get any nourishment at all and any stability. So too, the Christian. The Christian must have his roots buried deep in the love of God. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." What a beautiful description of these words. And the prophet Jeremiah makes a good commentary on it. Just listen to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8, where it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the hearth in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." If there's going to be power in the Christian life, then there must be depth. The roots must go deep, and deeper into the love of Christ. There is a very important question that every Christian should ask themselves. From what do I draw my nourishment and stability? We see the next couple of words there, grounded or established, and this brings to mind the idea of construction. Grounded refers to the foundation upon which we build. It's an architectural term. A very wise old architect once said, "The most important part of a building is the foundation. If you don't go deep, well, you can't go high." Each and every trial of our life tests the foundation and the depth of our Christian experience. Paul prayed that the believers might have a deeper experience with Christ, because only a deeper experience would be able to sustain them through the severe trials of life. Well, we've looked at the first two P's in the petition of Paul's prayer. The first, of course, power, chapter 3, verse 16, and then presence or depth in chapter 3, verse 17. Now let's turn our attention to perception. This is found in chapter 3, verses 18 and the first part of verse 19. And here we have apprehension or perception, and I call this the dimensions of God's love. We look at the first few words and we can catch a glimpse at what Paul is trying to say here. Both of the English words comprehend or apprehend stem from the Latin word prehender, which means to grasp. People say that a monkey has a prehensile tail. That is, the monkey's tail is able to grasp a tree branch. The word comprehend has the idea of mentally understanding something. The word apprehend carries the idea of taking it for yourself, laying hold of something, and people say, well, the police apprehended the suspect. Paul wants us to lay hold of the vast expanse of God's love. Paul wants us to live in the four dimensions. Paul wants us to live in four dimensions of the love of God, but we can't do it alone, though. The profound experience of the Spirit-filled and Christ-like, Christ-indwelt life is needed in order to comprehend with all the saints the love of Christ. The word comprehend or grasp, as it is used in this portion of Scripture, leaves us with the idea that trying to understand the love of God is an effort in futility if we are only relying on our own human intellect and faculties. We need the ministry of the Spirit in order to grasp the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God." It is a terrible, vain thing for a Christian or a group of Christians to say that they only have the truth, that they only understand the deep things of God. The Beacon Bible Commentary says, "Even though the individual Christian is strengthened by the Spirit, he cannot by himself hope to comprehend the full scope of divine truth." The comprehension of divine truth is with all the saints. What does the Scripture say again? May have power together with all the saints to grasp. We are to lay hold of our riches in Christ's love together with all the saints. And here Paul is wanting all the saints to live in four dimensions. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. The riches of God's grace for us is in four dimensions. As was stated before, here again we find a divine paradox. Paul wants us to take hold and know about Christ's love, a love that has dimensions that you cannot measure. Paul wants us to know personally the love of Christ that passes knowledge. O fellow biblical explorer, you may think that you're poor, but you're so rich in Christ, we are all so rich in Christ that our riches cannot be calculated, even with the most sophisticated computer. No Christian ever has to worry about having inadequate spiritual resources to meet the daily demands of life. Have you ever been caught at the checkout with not enough money to pay the bill? Well, there's no worries with Christ. We will never be caught short in spiritual matters if we take hold of our riches. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, where does this all lead us? What is the result of all of this? Fullness or plentitude? Nature dislikes a vacuum, and that's why water and air will automatically flow into an empty space. In our next study together, we are going to look at the plentitude, or the fullness of the riches of His grace.